First Samuel chapter 6, there's a story there that's often misunderstood and think that God is far too critical and too quick to act, been criticized because of what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 6. As we look at this, we're going to be talking about Uzzah, the man that touched the ark and God struck him dead. And some people say, well, all he did was touch the ark. Why is that such a bad thing? Well, there's a whole long story behind this, and one of the main themes that we want to get across is the honor and the respect that we have to give to God by showing our obedience. When God gives us a law, it's for our good. And if we'll use that law the way it's intended, it will lead us to heaven. But there's a number of laws, particularly in the Old Testament, that had to do with rituals and with some of the things that happened in the Old Testament. What you see is somewhat of a picture on the overhead with regard to the Ark of the Covenant. It was made of gold, and on the top were two cherubim, as they were made by the handicraft under the law of Moses. They had their wings extended over the mercy seat. There was a platform on the top of it called the mercy seat. When you look at that in the New Testament, the word atonement comes to mind. Because as the priest of the Old Testament would kill and slaughter the sacrifices and bring the blood, the high priest could bring the blood into the most holy place once a year. He would put the blood on the mercy seat. That was an appeal for God to forgive their sins. Now, we learned in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15, that the blood of Jesus Christ went back and cleansed those under the Old Testament, which shows the power of the blood of Christ. And even Abraham and those individuals are saved by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. When you look at this, you have to go to 2 Samuel chapter 6, and let's read the first 10 verses, and then we're going to be able to look at the whole story together, because this is something that came at the end of the story of David and the Ark of the Covenant. So David is now king in Israel. Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, and David rose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the Ark of the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the Ark of God on a new cart, brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the Ark of God, and Ahio went before the Ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments, of wood, on harps and stringed instruments, in tambourines, in sistrums, and on cymbals. When they came to Nachon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord, when that was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and they died there by the ark of God. David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. He called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day, and the footnote says it had to do with angry Uzzah. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him to the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gilite. This has been discussed in many books and commentaries as to why God did this. And some of the references we go back to 1 Samuel and then also in 1 Chronicles. But the whole idea of this was that we have here before us a story of reverence for God. In our world today, many people are flippant toward God. They don't really respect God. In fact, God is not in some people's lives at all. And if they use the name of God, it's always as a curse. And we hear OMG on Facebook a lot. the idea of saying something because they're shocked or because they receive a gift and they use the name of God in vain. What this is telling us is that God is God, and we need to learn reverence and obedience to His will. We go back in our study for a little while to the idea of the, well, it was brought first of all to the threshing floor, which is an area of hard-packed soil, and there was a big stone there, and they had it on that stone, and it was there for quite some time. But the question comes up, why did Uzzah have to die? Well, let's go back a little bit. Before the tabernacle was built, or later the temple in the time of Solomon, the Ark of the Covenant was with the people in Bethel, and the Philistines were their enemies. And the Philistines would come and fight. And because the Israelites were not living the way they should have, the Philistines overcame them. And they had a loss of many people because the Philistines killed them. Of course, this is hand-to-hand combat, not like some things today where you press a button and kill somebody. This was hand-to-hand combat. And as you read in the First Samuel about this, they killed a lot of Israelites. So the Israelites said, let's take the Ark of God out with us. And that's sort of like a talisman, the way they used it at that time. It was going to be good luck. They didn't have the proper reference for it even then. So they took the Ark of the Covenant out and went to battle with the Philistines. And again, the Philistines beat them, and many lost their lives to the Philistines. Well, the Philistines then, they had the Ark of the Covenant. And it was a matter of sorrow that they had lost the Ark of the Covenant, which was the signal of God being with them in Israel. So the Philistines took it into their house of worship, which was idolatry. And the next morning when they came in to look at it, the ark was still in place, but their idol had been cast down. Its head was broken off. Its hands were broken off. And they were somewhat frightened, and they were unsure as what they should do with the Ark of the Covenant. So they moved it to another place. Well, when they moved it to the next place, and they put it in the house of their idol, the next morning again, the head was broken off, the hands were cut off, and the Ark of the Covenant was still in place. So what they did, because they were very superstitious about it, and they were rightly concluding that God was angry with them for having the Ark of the Covenant, which belonged to the Jews, they would move it from place to place. And every place where they moved it, they would have great boils. They were called tumors. And the commentators say that might have been the plague. No one really knows what they are. But the men would break out in these tumors, and it would kill a lot of people. So they became very afraid that the Ark of the Covenant was there, and they said, let's send it back to the Jews. Well, how do you send it back to the Jews? Well, they made a new cart. And this cart, they also put on it golden tumors and golden rats as trespass offerings. They were offering things to the God of Israel as trespass offerings. And the odd thing was, they weren't sure if they were going to do it the right way. So they had two oxen with a new cart, and they had new calves. And they thought, well, if we set the oxen forward and they come back because they've got their calves in the stall, then we know that this is not really the Ark of the Covenant disturbing us. So they took the two calves and put them in a stall, and then set the two oxen toward Israel, and sure enough, they continued going without their calves, which was the sign that God was with them. He was letting that cart go. Now it's possible, we don't know for sure, but it's possible that the new cart that the Philistines had built gave them the idea of the cart. But when the cart of the Philistines got into the camp, they killed the oxen, offered them as an offering to God, and they would use the wood to burn the offering. So they were cutting their ties with the Philistines. And The people didn't read the Bible. They didn't take the Old Testament and understand what it had said. When you get back to the book of Deuteronomy, and the first picture that I showed you showed that there were two staves through the rings on each corner of the Ark of the Covenant. And the law had said that the Levite tribe, the priestly tribe, was going to be the one that would carry the ark on their shoulders. And he required that they put staves through the rings, and then the Levites would put it on their shoulders. And they would be able to carry the Ark of the Covenant then into the synagogue or wherever they're going to put it. Talking about the tabernacle rather than the synagogue. So David saw that the possibility was that we can do the same thing. So he had a new cart built and was having the cart moved toward Jerusalem or the city of David in order to keep that within the Israelite camp. And the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah put out his hands to stay that Ark of the Covenant from falling. He thought it was going to fall, and so his intentions were good. What we learn out of some of these things, again, Romans 15:4 in the New Testament says that the things written beforehand were written for our learning and admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And so these things were put in the Bible on purpose. God caused inspiration to put the story of Uzzah in the Bible for a reason. And the reason is that God is holy. And in our conduct about God, we should be holy. God is not just a fellow. There was a debate among some people about Jesus, for example, that Jesus left his superhuman stuff behind, his miracles in heaven, and he was just an ordinary guy like me and you. Nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus Christ was God also. And so here is Almighty God, Jehovah. His place of service is on the Ark of the Covenant once each year, so that the blood of the animals will atone for their sins. And now then, this tragedy has taken place. And so when we continue looking at this, recognize that this teaches us something. Again, Romans 15:4, these things are written for our learning. There's a lesson in this. Now, somebody might not even be interested. This is an Old Testament passage. This is a passage that's caused a lot of discussions. What difference does it make to me about Uzzah? We learn some things here, if we're careful, that we need to understand. Learning from other mistakes will help us not to make the same mistakes. So one of the things that we learn is the reverence that we have for God. Always, when we pray to God, when we take the Lord's Supper, when we discuss the Word of God, we're in the presence of Almighty God, who spoke the Word in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and created the entire world in 6 days. This is not a common fellow. This is not someone that we can just be pals and wals with. This is Almighty God. And while they were respectful of the ark, they didn't follow the directions. When you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, and you find out that the law had said that when the priests were to carry the Ark of the Covenant, it was to be with poles through the rings and on the backs of the Levites, who were the priestly tribe. And they didn't do that. Now, they had the reference. They had the scrolls. If they'd looked, they would have found out what God said. But they didn't care enough to look at that. Now, a moment ago we read in 2 Samuel 6, and David was angry about this. Now, in 1 Chronicles chapter 15... David finally came to understand we didn't do it right. We didn't do it according to the pattern. And he repented of all that. They finally brought the Ark of the Covenant into the tabernacle and later was put in the temple under Solomon. But the idea is that we should be able to look at others who make mistakes and learn from that. How many people really do that? Do you look around? I've learned a lot of things. I've learned by looking at the devastation that drugs cause. I'm not going to do that. I've got a few pictures. I might bring them someday, but they're not pretty to look at. I've got a few pictures on my computers of women picture before they did drugs and their picture after they did drugs. It's like somebody took a hammer to their face. Their teeth are rotted out. They look old. They've gone into the drug culture, and there's nothing pretty about it. I've learned not to do that. When growing up in my home, I saw a lot of alcohol abuse. My father was an alcoholic, though he always kept his job. He always worked hard. But he had to have that liquor. And when he would come home, we'd say tight, sometimes drunk, he'd have a mean streak in him. And I found out that a lot of people, when they drink, they have a whole other character come out. They're mean, or sometimes they're even happy. But they change their character when they drink. And if I were not a Bible believer, but I am, but if I were not a Bible believer, just looking at the wrath and destruction that drugs and alcohol, and alcohol is a drug, I understand that, but the devastation that that has caused among the human family, that's enough for me. I've learned my lesson. I don't drink. And I tell people, don't you drink, because it causes people to change. It's like a veneer is wiped off somebody's character, and the real self comes out, and sometimes it's pretty ugly. And so we have to learn to look at other people and learn lessons not to do that. So this is some of the things that we learn here. And so it's important then to understand why Uzzah died. God was angry with him, the Bible says. Well, David and the people were careless. Now, translate that in today's world. How about driving down the road and somebody's careless? I have a lot of my family that have been killed by drunk drivers. That alone would teach me that if we're not for the Bible, it's not a good idea to drink. I can name names and places and occasions. On one occasion, my cousin and her husband and two children were hit by a drunk driver out close to Wichita Falls. All four were killed in that one instant. One of them was about 3 years old, and it scalped that little baby. And that was because a drunk driver hit them. Now, the drunk driver disappeared. They never found out who he was. But the damage was done. What do I learn from stuff like that? What do I understand that teaches me? Well, the same thing goes for Uzzah and our relationship with God. Am I going to be flippant toward God? Am I going to be atheistic toward God? Am I going to be not caring about God? Have I not learned something by looking at Uzzah? Now, God's instructions concerning the ark were specific. And if they'd looked in the law, they would have found that. Exodus 37, verse 5, said that poles were to be used. Not on a cart, but poles were to be used. And the ark had to be covered. Numbers chapter 4, verse 6, it had to be covered. And when it got to Israel, because a lot of people just looked at the ark uncovered, like a curiosity, many of them died. God was angry because his holy piece of furniture that represented him on earth was being used as a curiosity object. And we have to learn from that. It had to be covered. And then the Levites, Numbers chapter 4, verse 15, the Levites were to carry the Ark of the Covenant. They were the priestly tribe. They were the descendants of Aaron. And they were the ones who were to be the priests. Now, in the New Testament, you know, it's different. In the New Testament, every child of God is a priest, both men and women. We are a holy priesthood, Peter tells us. And we're to understand what a prominent place that plays in our life. And so they didn't do it according to the word. So David and his people were careless. And first of all, back in 1 Samuel chapter 4 that I related a moment ago, the Philistines captured the ark. As they took it out to battle with them, to them it was sort of a talisman that we'll be able to overcome because we've got this It's somewhat like we would have the American flag today when you go out to do battle and you carry that flag and you think because you're an American, you can beat people. Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily. So again, we learn that the things of God are holy and we should respect them and use them the way that God gave them to us. And their idol, God, was destroyed every time that the Ark of the Covenant was put into a place, an idol temple where there were gods. They were broken down. It showed the power of God with regard to that. And the Philistines then put the Ark of the Covenant on the cart to send it back. And the point I made was that this might have been the event that gave the Israelites the idea of taking it on a cart. But you know, we had other instances of the Bible, like, for example, Hezekiah and some of the other kings. They had enemies trying to destroy them too. And there was a letter that came to King Hezekiah about how they were going to be destroyed. He took the letter and laid it out before God and asked for help. And God helped them because he came to them for counsel. Now, if David and the people had been not careless, but had read the Bible, the Old Testament scrolls that they had, they would have understood that they didn't do it after the proper order. And I wonder how many people in denominational worlds don't read the same Bible that we read. They're not doing it after the proper order. For example, during the funeral of John McCain at the National Cathedral, I watched part of that, you had women priests serving in that funeral. And 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says that women are to be in subjection under the man, and you don't have women preachers. God doesn't like that. He's appointed men to preach. He appointed men to be apostles. That doesn't mean that they're any better off than women. I always give the explanation about this, that in God's sight, a woman is as valuable as a man, but she has a different place of service. Men have a place of service. I'm not angry toward the angels because the angels are greater than I am. Hebrews chapter 1 says we're made a little lower than the angels. And so, angels are a creature above us. I'm not jealous about that. I have my place of service. Women have their place of service. And what we find out is that they were not doing things after the proper order. They had people carry the ark that was not priests, were not the Levites. And so we learn from that. So David and the people ignored what God commanded. Again, their intentions were good. But I'm wondering if people are reading the same Bible that I read. Now, I've got the New King James Version. I'm not saying that it's a better version than anybody else. You can use different versions of the Bible if it's a true version and come to the truth. But people are not reading the Bible. I'm going to ask you, I don't want you to answer me, but think about it inside. How many scriptures did you read this past week? How many times did you pick up the Bible and look for advice? How many times did you say, I've got a problem, I want to know the best way to solve the problem and pray to God about it? Have you prayed during the last week? You see, it gets really down personal. And what caused David to do what he did was they didn't read the scriptures. And we need to understand and appreciate that. The intentions were good. And the people came out in a mass. There were thousands of people that were so happy because the ark was coming into Jerusalem. And many religious people today, I'm sure, have good intentions. But how many people are baptized for the remission of sins? Even some denominations sprinkle some water. Now, they're reading the same Bible that I'm reading when the Bible says that you're buried with Christ in baptism and that the definition of baptism is immersion. Are we reading the scriptures and paying attention to it? Or are we just sort of saying, well, this is our tradition, this is what we've always done? So So we need to be appreciative of the fact that the Bible is there. God has loved us enough that He gave His Word to us to understand about life, where we came from, what the meaning of life is, and where we're going. Do you know where you're going? Are you sure of where you're going? Has somebody told you to pray the sinner's prayer? Now, I've read the Bible, and I want to tell you, and you can look it up for yourself, the sinner's prayer is not in the Bible. What is in the Bible is that when in Acts 2 the apostles preached to the Jews who crucified Jesus, they said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." We still preach that right here. Why? Because it's in the Bible. It's not, we don't have a creed book except the Bible. We don't have a committee that tells us what to believe. We don't have a creed book written to tell us what we're going to believe and practice. We have the Bible. And when you look at Acts chapter 2, you see the beginning of the Lord's church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 47, after these 3,000 people obeyed the gospel, they were added to the Lord's church. So there was a church in the first century. And that church belonged to Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, "I will build my church." He did that in Acts chapter 2. What we're trying to do is wake people up and say, let's belong to the Lord's church. It's not man-made. It doesn't have creeds and manuals and disciplines to follow. We just go by what the Bible says. And so this is the Lord's day. You notice that we have the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day. Because in Acts 20, verse 7, the disciples on the first day of the week met together and observed the Lord's Supper. And we're to do that on the first day of the week, and this is Sunday, the first day of the week. And so that's what the Bible says. And we look at this, and God teaches something other than the idea of just good intentions. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, I want to go to chapter 16, first of all. And are you familiar with the Bible? Do you know where the book of Proverbs is? Sometimes in my studies with different people, they have to go to the index to find out what book we're talking about. I hope and pray that you'll become familiar with the Bible as is your best friend. That you know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell the story of the gospel of Christ. That the book of Acts is the story of conversions, how people became Christians. And then the letters that are written from the book of Romans through the book of Revelation, they're how we ought to live as Christians. And some people never do follow that. But in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 2, "All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit." You know, things. This is the way I like it. Well, is that the way the Lord likes it? Uzzah would tell you different. He was doing it his way, and he had to die because of that. Then in chapter 16 and in verse 25, we find another passage. "There's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death." And in chapter 21... and verse 2, now these are things that the wise man has said that we need to understand. Chapter 21 and verse 2, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts." And these are sort of repetition verses, but nevertheless they tell us the truth. And we need to recognize that God has the right way, and we need to follow Him. So David and the people were sincere in their efforts, but God demands obedience. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, it talks about Saul. And Saul the king did not do as he should have with regard to the sacrifices. And God told him that obedience is better than sacrifice. Just do what the Lord says and understand that. Micah 6 talks about what a man understands what is right, to obey God and do His will. And you have these passages that show that God wants us to obey Him. Well, God's instruction to the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 6 has to do with the fact that they were to obey His will and teach it to their children. so that their children would be faithful. And again, over and over, the Israelites turned away from God, and their children went even further. They didn't listen to the will of God. I've often wondered how nice this world would be if people just lived as a Christian. How nice the world would be. I try to be a neighbor so that my neighbors don't have to be afraid of me breaking in their house and stealing anything. I try to be a neighbor because I'm a Christian. I try to be a neighbor that they can trust, they can understand, they can talk to me. And I'm never going to do them harm. And that's what a world it would be if people lived under those kinds of orders and obedience to God. And that's what Deuteronomy was talking about. So John chapter 4, Jesus was talking to a woman at the well in Samaria, and he said, "True worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth." And Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, warn that if you teach another gospel, God will curse you. That's why I'm so careful to have a Bible passage for what I believe and teach. It's not me, but it's the Bible that teaches that. And Colossians 3:17 says, "Let the words of Christ dwell in your hearts." Oh, what a world it would be. What a wonderful place it would be if people just let the words of Christ dwell in their hearts. And so Uzzah died because he touched the ark of God. David's carelessness led to a man dying. Now, let me make this suggestion to you. You read the Bible, you come to believe it, and you obey the gospel and you become a Christian. But there's a song in our songbook that says, "You never mentioned him to me." And that disturbs me. Because what if somebody goes to hell because I was careless in their presence? What if I didn't do enough to try to lead people to Christ? So my preaching is always governed by what the Word of God says. And these brethren at this church would challenge me in a minute if I taught something other than the Word of God. When I was talking to Terry earlier about the idea that I don't think there's a song in the book that relates to Uzzah, he proved me wrong. But when I first said that, I said there's not a verse in the Bible about Uzzah. And they were giving me the eye because I made a mistake in my speech. I was saying that there wasn't a song in the book that might remind you of Uzzah, but some of these songs really did, because it talks about obedience and glory to God. And so David's carelessness, and he learned a valuable lesson. I mentioned already 1 Chronicles chapter 15. He said, finally he learned, "I did it wrong." Would you say that sometimes if you find out that you are doing something that's not right? Do you have the courage of David to say, "I did it wrong"? Even when he committed the sin with Bathsheba and led to such terrible results in his family, David could say, "I have sinned. I've lived the wrong way." And he turned his life around so that God could later say of David, he was a man after God's own heart. These are good lessons for us to learn and to recognize. He said in 1 Chronicles 15, "We did not consult God after or about the proper order." And you see, that's what happens when we don't read the Bible and we don't follow the Bible. Well, I hope that this has not been a lesson too far out of your understanding.